Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Fitness with Feldman. This is Dr. Justin Feldman. I've got Dr. John Nunez with me again today. And we wanted to spend some time today talking about warming up and how to formulate the best warm up and what you need to do to make sure you're ready for whatever it is you're trying to do. So, John, what's the first advice you start to give to people regarding warming up?
What kind of activity are we doing?
Let's start with running.
Running. It depends. So if it's a longer run, it depends on, like, actually, even regardless of what distance it is, depends on what I was doing just beforehand. Say I was at work sitting a lot, or if I, you know, drove up from, I don't know, Westchester, if I was sitting on the couch watching TV, probably going to do a little bit more of a dynamic warm up just to kind of loosen up the joints a little bit, get the joint fluid moving, get the blood flowing a little. If it's a long run and I'm not really doing much of anything before, I'm up and I've been active for the day, I might kind of build my warm up into my run. So it really depends on how I'm feeling, if I'm, I don't know, if I'm got anything nagging injuries or anything feels tight. So I'd say usually starting with a dynamic warm-up before my runs, or just gradually kick up the intensity. But I'm a fan of slowly increasing intensity until I get a nice good sweat going before I try and do anything really explosive.
What about coming into the gym? Let's say you're coming in to work out, spend the day sitting at a desk in an office. I know we're fortunate enough, that's not something we have to really worry about, but you got someone sitting at a desk and then they're getting into the gym. And the problem I know I see a lot with a lot of my patients is they're coming in and they've got 45 minutes to get a big workout in, and they've got a plan what they want to do, and they tend to get in the door and go.
Yeah, get in, get the workout, and then get out. So that's a big problem. You know, people underestimate how important the warm-up is. One of the big things that the warm-up does is it primes us neuromuscularly. So, you know, fancy big words that we throw around, but in reality it just means your brain is the one that controls the muscles and tells it what to do and how to work and how efficient or inefficient you're going to be. So I like to get a, you know, good warm-up in to kind of prime the muscles, because if you get a good warm-up, your muscles are going to work better. You're going to move more weight. That's what most of the people want in the gym. So again, more dynamic stuff for the joints. Bench press, loosen up the shoulders a little bit. If I'm doing squats, you know, dynamic for the hips, loosen up the hip flexors a little, not just by stretching, but getting the blood flowing.
Okay, nice. I know you see, I've seen a lot of different studies on different types of central nervous system warm-up stuff. So if you're going to be squatting, try and do 5 or 6 box jumps, get those muscles flowing, get the same muscle group moving around. I know one thing I try and get people to avoid is you see the people come in, walk for 5 minutes on the treadmill, and then go straight off into a, you know, really hard workout. And what I usually try and say is, you know, walking, you do it all the time, so it's not that hard. What are we getting accomplished with that walking before we work out there, and what's going on?
Yeah, especially if they only have, like you said, 45 minutes to work out. That was a wasted 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, kind of framed in there, we were talking about running a little bit before. How much of a time do you dedicate to warming up? You're going out, let's say you're going to go out for a 5 mile run and you're fairly loose. You're not, maybe haven't been sitting at a desk all day, but, you know, do you try and build the first mile? When do you try to get up to your goal pace as you're doing your workout?
Well, again, I guess it depends on what my workout is. If I'm doing intervals, say I'm doing mile intervals or, you know, 3 minute sprint intervals, I'm going to want to get warmed up a little bit looser into it. If I'm going out for a 5 mile tempo run or a long run, I'll build it into those first miles. So I really guess I don't have to worry too much beforehand. Sometimes, you know, I find that my ankles get really tight. I've just had tight ankles, so I may want to work on a little bit of ankle mobility before I actually hit the pavement. Otherwise, I'm going to feel it in my Achilles. I'm going to feel it in my ankles a little bit. And then it eventually goes away, but I'm not really doing myself any good. But if it's, you know, more of a, it's really imperative to get that warm-up in, I might spend 10 minutes at home before I leave the door, maybe doing some glute bridges to get the posterior chain activated. Again, I may do some hip mobility, ankle mobility work, but I'm generally going to do whatever it takes to get a good sweat going. That's when I know that my body's kind of primed. I get a good sweat. If I'm outside and it's hot, it might take me a little bit less. But I'd say a good 10 to 15 minutes is on the max, as much as I would do. But you can get a good warm-up in 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, nice. Now, I always try and throw this into conversations about warming up. What about stretching? This one kind of gets people start to say, oh, well, I did my warm-up. And you see they were just kind of hanging out on the side, sort of in a position that maybe they were stretching their hamstrings, maybe they were sitting like a figure four and hanging out for a little while.
Stretching the vocal cords.
Yeah, exactly. But I like to try and really make sure everybody understands the idea that stretching doesn't count as your warm-up.
No, not at all.
When do you really feel the best time to throw stretching in is?
I only stretch a muscle if it needs to be stretched, really.
Okay.
Is it an actually tight muscle, or is it just kind of seem to be tight, or is it just nagging you? So stretching, a lot of people say that they reserve for afterwards now. But in reality, unless the muscle is actually tight, I'm not going to be stretching anything. I'm going to be doing more dynamic stuff, get the blood flowing. You get the contraction and relaxation of the muscles, which helps warm it up, actually, get the blood flowing.
I think that that's exactly the same thing. I usually try and explain to people that very rare that your muscle is just physiologically too short.
Right.
A lot of times even it's weak and it's, you know, it's holding on for dear life. So it's not so much that it's too short. It might feel tight,
right,
but it's tight because it's contracting.
Exactly.
And so I almost want to try and get it to relax. I remember I was at a course one time and guy took a piece of exercise band and he tied the band in a knot and he said, okay, your muscle's in a knot,
mm-hmm,
and go ahead and stretch it. And he gave the band to one guy and another guy and they pulled it from across the room and
no change on the knot.
Yeah. If anything, you make that knot tighter.
Yep.
And so you're not really getting much accomplished with, you know, that stretching there. I think a lot of times stretching can be overdone a little bit.
Definitely. It's tough for people. It's one of those old, you know, notions that people really hold on to. And no matter what the research shows or practical application shows, people are still going to want to stretch. I remember I was talking to somebody about this. And the one big thing I like to tell people is there's a big difference in stretching to restore resting length to a muscle. So say you are sitting in the car for, you know, a couple hours and you get up, you feel stiff. Okay, maybe you want to loosen up the joint so the muscle can return to its your normal length. There's a big difference between that and then stretching the muscle to try and make it longer because you think it's more important to be longer.
Yeah. I think the other thing that gets left out when you start talking about warm-up is I try and get people to understand the idea that you really want to make it warm. You're actually talking temperature,
yep,
here. And a lot of times I'll see people, and they're going to go out for a run or they're going to come to the gym and work out. I usually try and tell people, you need an extra layer. If you need an extra layer of clothing to do your warm-up, then take that off.
Yep.
And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about, getting up a good sweat and feeling good and getting things moving so that,
yeah,
you really build up that temperature, that tissue temperature, so that you're more efficient when you get into that workout.
Oh yeah, your heart rate should definitely be up. The other thing is, I mean, who's been to a professional sporting event before, whether it's baseball or football or soccer or whatever it is? The athletes are at the stadium or the field for a good few hours beforehand in the locker room, and then they're getting a good warm-up. And I mean, they're spending a good hour to an hour and a half warming up, and they're not compromising any athletic performance. So it's good for us too. You know, you're not going to overdo it by doing a warm-up. It's actually really important.
Yeah. No, definitely. Now, we only have a couple minutes left. We're at 8 minutes. We say we try to keep these around 10 minutes. But I like to throw in, whenever we talk about warming up, cooling down.
Yeah.
I think people, you go for a run, you do a workout, and I know I'm guilty of it. I get in the house, get in the shower, and I'm out the door.
I just go to the fridge.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. What kind of advice you find yourself giving people these days? What's the best research saying about cooling down?
Cooling down is super important also. I kind of tend to think it's more important because you can build a warm-up into the workout, but you got to get the garbage out and you got to get the new stuff in. So cool downs are really important to kind of keep your heart elevated for a little bit just to get that old gunky blood out of there. You know, people talk about that burn when you work out, the lactic acid. Lactic acid is a normal product of working out. The problem is when it just kind of lingers after the exercise, we don't clear it out. That's when you get that burning sensation. That's when you still feel fatigued because your muscles, you know, they just can't work as well. So I like to tell people, you know, spend at least 5-10 minutes at a little bit of a lower intensity where your heart rate is still elevated. You're still working a little bit, but what that's doing is, I mean, you're getting the heart to pump new blood to the area, new oxygen, nutrients, red blood cells, all the good stuff, and we're getting all the old stuff out. So cool down is super important. I mean, I think it's something where you can just spin on a bike if it's the legs for a little bit. You know, you can get the arms moving if it's some arm upper body stuff. But in effect, if your heart's going, it's going to get the blood everywhere. So hop on the bike maybe 5 or 10 minutes.
I like it. One thing I always try to point out to people, because I get a lot of pushback when I start and get people, you know, you got to cool down. You got to do a cool down. You got to add that in. And I find that what works best for me to get the point across to people is to tell them that you're preparing for your next workout.
Yeah.
If you're not cooling down well today,
not gonna recover.
You might come in and see me and say, oh, I pulled my hamstring doing this. Well, the reason you pulled your hamstring is you didn't do a good job cooling down, so you didn't prepare it well for what you needed to do today.
Yeah. So poor warm-up, no cool down, and then, you know, performance goes down.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's our 10-minute mark. So that's our take on warming up, a little bit on cooling down. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Dr. Justin Feldman, Feldman Physical Therapy and Performance.
Dr. John Nunez, Feldman Physical Therapy and Performance.
Thank you very much for listening to Fitness with Feldman. As always, subscribe on iTunes, leave us some reviews, let us know what you think. Find us at Feldman Physical Therapy and Performance on Facebook, and leave us some suggestions, interview ideas, stuff you want to hear about, and we'll try our best to get it on. Thank you.